people are not all heroes or all villains. We've got good points, we've got bad points. We have to be responsible for the consequences of our decisions.
That's Mark Grossberg. I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Mark Grossberg has practiced law in his native Houston for more than 50 years. He joins us to talk about his debut novel, The Best People, a tale of trials and errors. Mark, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. I'm so happy to be on Kansas Public Radio.
Well, tell us about where the inspiration for this novel came from.
Okay, this is a little bizarre, but I went to a family event one time in a hotel, and I had to go to the restroom, and I went in the restroom, and I heard female voices, and at first I thought they came through the vent, but then I realized I hadn't passed any urinals when I came in. So I said, oh my gosh, you know, they're going to think I'm some sort of a pervert. I got out of there as quickly as I could, but then I thought, well, what would happen if somebody overheard a conversation they weren't supposed to overhear if they were in a place they weren't supposed to be? And the whole idea came from that. And that scene is like 80% into the book. It doesn't show up, but it all worked backwards from that moment.
Let's talk about the title of the book. What is the significance of the title?
Okay. The title, The Best People, is sort of ironic. There is a character in the book who is a cafe society person, and she's trying to make it into the top echelon of people. So she has a group she calls the best people. And some of them are, some of them aren't. But it struck me that that would be the best title for the book. I subsequently got added a subtitle, A Tale of Trials and Errors. And I think that helps a lot.
Tell us more about the plot of this novel.
Patty Moran is a complicated guy. He's originally from Brooklyn, but he comes to Houston to be a cop, and then he realizes that if he's going to be able to achieve his desire for recognition and respect, he needs a different path. So he went to night law school. When he gets out, he finds out, as nearly everybody who's been to law school finds out, they don't teach you much about how to practice law, and he was totally humiliated in his first trial and had some little ethical issues that he had to learn how to deal with. But then he's street smart and book smart. He gets a good referral from one of his policeman friends. He gets an outstanding outcome for that person. She in turn refers him someone to get a divorce. And this is the wife of a partner in a major downtown law firm. And he has an amazing result for them. And he rises to the top of the divorce bar. After that, he has some ethical challenges and how he deals with those is most of the drama in the book. There's another character, Pilar. She's a flawed but beautiful woman. And she turns a temporary assignment into a relationship with the richest man in town. And their lives converge. And there's Ponzi schemes and country club versus cafe society and legal shenanigans, judicial improprieties, big firm politics. The book that I had in mind when I said, gee, if I have a model for the kind of book I would like to write, was The Bonfire of the Vanities. Except this is more of a legal thriller than Bonfire of the Vanities was. There's no murders, by the way. It may be a thriller, but there's no murders. Anyway, it comes to a large ending, which hopefully people won't be able to anticipate, but which they will, in fact, find satisfying.
I want to ask you a little bit more about Patty Moran. Was there a specific inspiration for this character? I guess what I'm asking is, does he represent a type of person that you may have encountered in your career as a lawyer?
The short answer to that is yes. He's not modeled on anybody in particular, but there are people who come to Houston, which is a true meritocracy. I mean, anybody who's willing to work hard, it's wide open. You can do it. And so I wanted to portray someone who did that. And since I know lawyering more than I know most other things, I made him a lawyer. And I think he's lovable, but he's also does some stuff that's not wonderful things. And the people who've read the book are just mesmerized by him. So that's a good sign. He's very smart and he's willing to work hard, but sometimes his judgment isn't terrific.
You know, I understand that this book has been decades in the making. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that's embarrassing. Okay, so in 1996, I had this idea that I described, and I sat down and I wrote the first draft. And then, you know, I'm working hard. I've got children to raise and all that sort of thing. So I didn't touch it again until 2004. And then I touched it, but beginning in 2008, when I began to slow down my law practice, I really got to work on it. So it took about 10 years to really write this. And it would have helped if I'd known how to write a novel. So I hired editors and things like that and took classes at Imprint, which is a wonderful organization in Houston. And somehow I got it to a point where it's a pretty good book.
Well, congratulations on getting this published. You know, what do you think your training as a lawyer, what impact has that background had on your writing?
It has helped me to omit needless words and to write things that are hopefully susceptible to a single meaning unless I intend for them to be ambiguous. And it has given me discipline to complete the task. And I started really focusing on this book when I started treating it like it was trial preparation. And that's when I really rolled it up and got it going.
When I talk to authors, I'm always interested in their process. And some say they write with a roadmap, and others say they write with a compass. They just kind of know where they're going and discover things along the way. So how would you describe your process?
It's the compass. I get an idea in my head. I sit down, I write it, and then I work and work and work and work it over. God knows. I think I did 100 drafts of this book, and somebody said, well, then it's not really your first novel, is it? I wanted to be a writer since I was 16. Okay. Way before I ever thought about being a lawyer, but the skills have been a long time coming.
There's another question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters in your book, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's easy. It'd be Pilar, because I modeled her after Jennifer Lopez. I had Jennifer Lopez in my head when I created Pilar. I mean, the stories have nothing to do with her, but gee. And then I'd like to spend time with Patty, and Linda Hetherington's a fascinating character for me, but yeah, it's a fantasy. I've created my own J-Lo character, so sure, of course I'd like to spend time with her.
Well, other than that, what would you like readers to take away from this novel?
I'm hoping that this is authentic, that people are not all heroes or all villains. We've got good points. We've got bad points. We have to be responsible for the consequences of our decisions. And I hope they just enjoy themselves, that that it's a good read and they remember the characters and some parts of it stick with them, so that when they're driving along or in a conversation, something will pop up in their head and say, hey, you know, I read this book once and it said, and I think that would be maybe the greatest compliment of all.
So what's next for you? Do you have another novel in the works?
I have another novel in the works. I have a long personal essay called Going Wherever the Green Light Tells Me the Intersection Might Be Interesting, or Living in the Now.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
Mark Grossberg's novel is The Best People, The Tale of Trials and Errors. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.